So I receive a lot of my intuitive messages through my dreams. And the earliest dream that I remember is from when I was 2 or 3 years old, because it was one of these dreams. And in the dream, I was approached by, I guess what you would call a demon. It was a scary entity, and they wanted me to come with them, and I refused. And then I woke up, and I was screaming, crying for my mom, and she comforted me. But when I got older, my mom told me that a week before I had that dream, she had that dream of the same entity that I described, but she told the entity to leave in her dream, and he ended up coming into my dream a week later. I think the entity ended up in one of my sister's dreams at some point, and a bunch of other family members' dreams, so it was kind of weird. But as an adult, this gift has become a little more comical. I don't really know what to do with it, but usually when I have like a psychic dream of some sort, I'm just like dreaming about somebody random, you know? And the next day that person messages me. And I remember this happening to like this kid that I grew up with. Like, he went to the same school as me and stuff, but we were in totally different friend groups. We never really talked. And we were like probably 3 years out of high school when I had this dream of him. And I was like, huh, that's weird. Weird that I'm dreaming of him. Why is he coming up? And literally the next day, he messaged me on Facebook. Pretty much the extent of my gift at the moment is knowing what dude is about to hit me up on social media.
I usually don't remember my dreams, so I've learned that the dreams that I do remember usually are a prophetic or psychic type of dream, but also I can pinpoint those dreams from other dreams by the way that they hold a bunch of like surging energy that I can feel, and it kind of like wakes me up in a shock.
Marky had prefaced their little voice message to me through Instagram saying, this is my psychic experience that you can share on the podcast, but please don't laugh. And I you can kind of hear me like in the recording as I'm recording it, that this little like laugh escapes when she says that. Mostly at the moment, it's just dudes hitting her up. I never had that. It would have saved me a lot of strife in my teens and 20s if I had any kind of insight as to what was going on in my love life. Thank you so much for sending in your story, Maki. And for all you listening, if any of you want to send in your latest psychic experience, just send a voice note through to my Instagram at Psychicish Podcast. Now let's get into the episode. Hello, hello. If you don't know me, my name is Lydia. This is my podcast where in the beginning I was talking about the psychic experiences I had as a kid and talked through how they developed throughout my life and changed and morphed into what they are now. And nowadays, because you're all caught up, I just share whatever psychic experience happens to me throughout the week and try my very best to make sense of it, rationalize it. And as I say that, try my very best to not be skeptical or as skeptical as I am, because in my heart of hearts, that is who I am. I'm always going to want to know the logical reason as for why something like this happens. So in today's episode, I know I told you next episode would be about Alcatraz, because we just got back from our little road trip down the California coast. We went on a night tour. I don't know if I was prepared enough for that or if I could even handle it, but you know what? I just chose to be brave and did it anyway. And that was going to be the next episode, but in between there, we had the Aurora Borealis, if that's how you pronounce it. I don't know. I'm a perfectionist and I don't want to make myself sound any sillier than I already do sound, but we saw the Northern Lights and I had a pretty fucked up experience. Like, I want to say that it was beautiful. I want to say that it was awe-inspiring or out of this world. It was kind of out of this world, but in a way that I wasn't expecting. And I didn't know if I was going to share it, but part of me just wants to share it, one, so that my sister can stop asking me about what happened, and two, so that I can kind of stop thinking about it. But honestly, in the past, that's worked for me. Like, if I say something on the podcast, it's almost like when you go into an exam and you just think about everything so intricately that when you leave the exam, it's just gone from your mind forever. That's typically what happens with me in these podcast episodes. But I don't know, I have the feeling that this one's going to stick, and I'm nervous. And please bear with me, because I just recorded the episode and my timeline is all munched up, and I realize that as I'm speaking. I would go through and re-record it, but honestly, like, why would I? Why would I take something that's my authentic wavelength of thinking about an experience and try and recraft it to make it a nicer story for someone to listen to? That wouldn't be true to me, so I'm just going to keep it as it is. Something you don't know about me, or maybe you do if you read my Instagram story about it, but I only had one bucket list item in my lifetime, and that was seeing the Northern Lights. I actually thought moving to Canada would be my biggest chance at seeing them. And then once I got here and realized you can only kind of see them in winter and best up in Alaska, I was just like, oh my gosh, how can I make this happen? And my mum's coming over to visit in August, and I almost was trying to push the idea of us going to Alaska together to see them. And it was always, I don't know why, but it was always really important to see them with my mum. I don't know why, but it's just something that I always wanted to happen. And we have this little Facebook group here in Whistler where people share if the aurora is going to be seen that night. And so we've had about 12 boy cried wolf incidences where we thought that we're going to be seeing the Northern Lights and then nothing happened, or they were there, they just weren't really visible to the naked eye. And I remember I was biking home one night after work, because I do a mixture of working during the day and then working during the night, and I think it was around about 9:30 or 10, and I was talking to my mum on the phone, and I was just walking my bike down this little hill as I spoke to her. And I saw what looked to be like a little pink light in the distance, in the horizon. And I said to her, I said, I think I'm looking at the Northern Lights. And she, honestly, no, I was going to say what she said. I can't remember what she said. I can't remember what I said after that. All I can remember is that when I'd finished talking to my mum and got on my bike and rode down the hill and got to the first set of lights that I needed to cross before being on my merry little way home, I remember hearing my granddad's voice in my head saying, "Happy birthday." And maybe he didn't say happy birthday. I don't know. I'm second guessing myself, because it would have been around about in summer. But I remember hearing his voice and hearing that it was him that had brought the Northern Lights to me. I think he did say happy birthday. He said happy birthday, and he said you deserve to see them. And that was that. But this was honestly like a little pink splotch in the sky. I don't know if they actually were them at the time. So a few nights ago, when there was, you know, that little solar flare storm, whatever it is, I got a text from my boyfriend asking what I was up to, because he'd just been out mountain biking and was with some friends watching the hockey, go Canucks go, and they're on a roll. And I said to him, I was like, I was just about to go and try and see or hunt down the Northern Lights. And I was planning on driving to this lake. And he said, well, are you going to wait until I get home? And I don't know, I just kind of wanted it to be like an individual experience. I don't know if it's just because it meant so much to me. It's the only thing I've ever really wanted in my life. And it's going to sound awful, but I didn't want him to ruin it. I don't think that he would. I just didn't want it to be about him or about us. I just wanted to see it on my own. But then I also wasn't going to take that away from him. So I waited until he got home and he was a little bit inebriated. So when I saw that, I was just like, oh God, here we go. Like, this is a serious thing for me and you're just going to be making jokes or little quips here and there. And this is an experience that I've been waiting for since I even discovered what the Northern Lights were. But I sucked it up. I was like, this is a really nice thing to be able to do together. Like, we're very, very lucky. So he took a step outside. I was heating up my little hot water bottle and I told him I'd wanted to go to Green Lake to look at them or try and find them, I guess, because I don't know, I just heard that it would be a good place to see them because it was north facing and you're away from lots of street lights, maybe, I'm not too sure. And he was like, nah, let's just go to the park at the end of the street, you know, that park where the grizzly bear was living for a little while, like 50 to 100 meters away from our house. So he gets ready, goes out the door. I'm just heating up my little hot water bottle. I'm not even sure that we're going to be able to see them from this park because that one night that I did see what I thought were the Northern Lights. When I got home on my bike, my boyfriend had heaps of friends over to like watch this mountain biking movie and I just couldn't care less. So I just kept riding and went into the same park that we went into. So the park at the end of our street, and it was pitch black. And I remember biking around the edge of the park around to where these tennis courts are and just looking up towards the area where I thought I'd seen them near work. And I was looking, couldn't really see much. And then I kind of cast my eyes down and I just see this big shadow, like the size of a cow. And I was just like, shit, because it would have been a bear. And it wasn't too far away. Like, I'm probably speaking like maybe like 5 or 10 meters away. So I got on my bike and just got out of there as quickly as I could. So that, I mean, the bear's just like that park, okay? So Dan gets out the door and he immediately just says, oh, wow, I can see them already. And so I got all nervous. I started procrastinating, which I wasn't really expecting. Maybe I didn't want to be disappointed by them, or maybe I was just a little bit overwhelmed that I was finally going to see this one thing that I'd always wanted to see. But I kind of just stood still and Dan was like, come on, what are you doing? And I just stood there and I said to him, I was like, well, this is the only bucket list item I've ever had. Does that mean I'm going to die after I see them? Because it's like all I've wanted in my life. And he just laughed at me and was like, don't be silly. And he was like, come on. I can't lie, I still kind of wonder that. And I know it is probably silly, but that's just how my mind works, unfortunately. So we take about 3 steps out of the house and we're on the road. And I said to him, I was like, I don't think they're there. And he was like, just look up. And I looked up and I could see, I mean, it looks so much stronger through the camera on your phone when you can do a long exposure photo. But there was no doubting it. Like, I looked up and it was like the sky was filled with pink and green smoke almost that was just always moving. And it was really beautiful. And like, Dan looks up and he's like, that looks like a wizard. And I was like, oh shit, like, here we go. This is the vibe that we're going to be having for like the most romantic moment of our life ever. So we just kind of stand and we're watching them for a little while. And then we make our way over to the park. And when we get there, it is pitch black. There's no lights around except for this sort of little public toilet area. So we make our way away from that, and we just kind of stand and look up at the sky. And honestly, it was hurting my neck, so I sat down on the ground and was just watching, just in awe for a really long time. And I don't know, I kept waiting for something like really romantic to happen between Dan and I, but it didn't. And he said he wanted to go inside, and I just wasn't quite done with them. So I went back with him. I think there are about four people in the park at that stage. I went back to the house and got a towel and a pillow and refilled my hot water bottle so that I could go out there and be out there for longer. And he took himself to bed. He was a happy little clam. And then I went back out on my own. And I walked out onto the field. And when I got there, I saw that no one was there. It was just me. And this is the size of two soccer fields, so it's quite a big space. And if you saw from pictures of when the grizzly bear was there for about a week, there's kind of just like bush on one side, bush on another side, a school on one side, and a playground on the other. So it's like this big, big space, but it's very isolated. Like, there's not many people around. And so I set my towel down and my little pillow, and I'm trying to call my mum because I just wanted to FaceTime her so that I could watch the Northern Lights with her. She didn't pick up, and that's rare. So I was just sort of waiting for her. But while I was waiting, I just lay down and just watched the movement in the sky. It was just like these tendrils of light just continuously moving, and where the sky was pink once would be green in about 5 seconds. Like, it was just beautiful. It was like watching a lava lamp that took up the whole sky. And I love that kind of thing, you know. And I don't know what came over me, but I decided to sit and do a little meditation and open up my little mind hat, I guess, and do the same sort of thing that I would do before a reading. I kind of cleanse my energy and put a rooting cord down into the earth, and then I visually activate all my chakras, and then I do that little mind hat opening technique that came through one of my earlier episodes that I got shown in a dream by a spirit guide of mine. And that honestly has been working so well. Like, the more people at work that find out I'm psychic and stuff, or friends that find out, they're always expecting for spirits just to be coming through to me all the time. But honestly, if I haven't sat and done that little opening technique, most of the time nothing will come through, unless you're like my family. I don't know, maybe my family members just come through and penetrate that mind of mine. I'm not too sure. But unless it's something really pressing or someone I'm really close with and have a really close connection with, nothing will come through, and I just can live my life like a normal person, or as normal as I can be. And that's not even me relating to psychic stuff. That's just me being weird. And I thought about doing the little opening technique as I was lying down. And then, I don't know, I feel like there's something about having your back straight when activating your chakras. It just feels right. And as I was sitting there, I had this little realization. I was just thinking about how full circle this moment was. Because, as I've said before, when I first saw my first ever spirit that I can remember, and I was 7 years old, and it was my grandma that passed before I was born. After a few years, when I gained the courage to tell my sister, and she gave me enough support to feel comfortable telling my mum took me to see a psychologist or psychiatrist. I actually can't remember the accuracy of what that person's role was, but they were a professional. And I remember, like, at the time, my mum told me that we're going to go and get ice cream. And that should have been the first red flag. Like, we weren't even allowed like chocolate biscuits in the house or chips or soft drink or anything. So the fact that my mum said we could go get ice cream, I should have known better. But I guess I was just hopeful, you know. And then we parked outside this house and I knew what was happening. And I just looked at her and she looked so sad. Like, she looked like she'd let me down. And I started crying. But after a while, we went inside because I was just scared that I was going to be told that I was crazy, right? And that I was going to be medicated or sent away, or I didn't know what happened to people like me back then. But after I'd told this woman what I'd experienced, she gave me some exercises to feel better trying to get to sleep at night, because I just had this quite overwhelming insomnia that developed because I was too afraid of going to sleep, because that was when I felt like most spirits would come, or I thought that when I opened my eyes there'd be a spirit standing there. Shock horror, because that's what happened the first time. And this lady gave me this exercise, and it was to walk around our house at night on my own. And our house, like, I would have had to walk around one side and then go down into this area near our pool, which scared me even more than our house itself. And there were no bedrooms down on that level. Like, it was kind of like our house was one level and then you went down these stairs into a little room and then you could go outside to our pool and backyard. So when she said that to me, I was just like, that's never going to happen. Like, I was 10, right? And I can't remember. I think maybe I tried once to stand outside. I couldn't even stand outside my bedroom window on my own out there. But I tried, you know. Anyway, I was in this park.
I feel like I'm rambling a lot.
And I was sitting waiting to open up my little mind hat. And I was just like, far out, Lydia. Look how far you've come. You couldn't even walk around a house on your own when you were a kid in the dark, and here you are actively sitting alone in the middle of a field where a grizzly bear lived for a week and no one's around you, and you're willingly closing your eyes and allowing anything to come through. So I guess I was proud in that moment, but maybe I was being a little bit stupid. I'm not too sure, but I sat with that for a little bit, and then I went through my little technique. I imagined that, you know, some clear light was coming down from the galaxy, like from the stars over me and washing over me and my energy and going into the earth. And then I set down a grounding cord, and then I just imagined each chakra sort of lighting up in color. And typically when I do that, like, I'll imagine my root chakra and I'll picture that there's this red orb of light, you know, around it. And then I'll move up to my solar plexus and there will be, oh, not my solar plexus. I always get those two mixed up. I'll move up to my sacral and there'll be this orange light, and then my solar plexus and there'll be this yellow light. And sometimes that light is the size of a marble. Sometimes it's the size of an orange. Most of the time, it's like the size of a watermelon. And when I started doing this, I pictured my root chakra activating, and it was the size or the circumference of the field I was in. So it was like my energy was just extending out to this whole field. And then I wondered if that was just the one chakra, and then I moved up and it was just like every chakra after that was the same size. It was just taking up the space of this field, except when I got to my third eye and that one extended a little bit further. But funnily enough, this is actually what I do in my readings as well. I'll open up my own chakras and then I'll open up the chakras of the person I'm talking to or person I'm reading. And somehow that way we kind of connect, and I can tune into the energy that way by sort of just establishing that connection. So it's something that's just, I don't know, is, Oh, sorry, I can hear Dan walking around and so I've been put off. I'm just going to wait until he's sitting down again, working away, so I don't feel so self-conscious. It's so funny that I can sit and, like, talk to you, but I get self-conscious if he's listening to what I'm saying. I think he's trying as quietly as he can to get some crackers out of the cupboard. Poor thing. Poor thing. I have the best hearing. Like, oh, I feel sorry for anyone around me. I'm so sensitive to it. Where was I? I think I was talking about how I would just activated all my chakras. And after I did that, sometimes in readings I'll open up my little mind hat, but sometimes I'm self-conscious of the person judging me for doing that weird little action, so I don't. But I did that this time. And that is like the one thing that I do, which is kind of just putting up a sign to any spirit around me or any energy around me that I'm open for business, that like you can come in. I have no walls up. I'm open. So I did that. And then I just sort of lifted my head back and just watched the stars for a little bit. And then I thought, oh no, I shouldn't be doing that. I should be closing my eyes because that's what I typically do. And I just heard like these messages of reassurance that came through from my spirit guides, I guess. And they were just telling me, like, you know, you're on the right track. Because like, yeah, I always worry, you know, and like we're coming back to New Zealand at the end of the year. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm a girl that likes to plan. So they were just sort of giving me these sort of, you know, messages of encouragement, things I've heard for a while. And then they said, one of your children's here. And I started hearing the voice of one of the spirit babies that's come through to me, and I could see her. And this is going to sound awful, but I wasn't really in a space to talk to her. She's been around a lot recently, even more so since this night, and she's putting pressure. Pressure, she wants to come through. And I don't know yet. I don't know where I'm at yet. So I'm sitting in this field, hearing these voices from my spirit guides, seeing my spirit baby, and just thinking in my head, oh gosh, I don't think this is the right time to be connecting. And I don't know why, I just didn't really want to connect in that moment. And out of nowhere, this voice just cuts through. And it says, Lydia, we're your light family. And, oh, like, I'm getting teary thinking about it. Because I didn't even say my reaction when I saw the Northern Lights. I started bawling. I cried my eyes out. And one of the reasons was because I was overwhelmed that it was actually happening. The next thing was that I wish my granddad was there. He was so interested in science and space and things you can't explain. And I felt guilty that I was seeing them without him. And then I felt the grief that came along missing him and wishing he was there. Oh my God, I've missed a whole chunk out. Oh my God. Shit. Sorry, this is so higgledy-piggledy. So I cried because I wish my granddad was there. And then the thing that was overwhelming me the most was that looking at the sky, it felt familiar and it felt like home. And that scared me. I didn't know if that's what the sky kind of looks like when you're a soul waiting to come down to earth. I don't know, but that's the sort of thing that was running through my mind. I was just like, is that why this seems familiar. Is this what you see when you pass away? Like, or when you go, wherever you go after you pass away? I don't know. Ugh, I'm seeing nods and I wish I wasn't. Sorry, I just need to gather myself because I know that I've said a lot of things and I've just really messed up the order of everything. I think my brain hasn't quite made sense of all of this. As I was sitting the first time with Dan next to me, when I sat down and just looked at the sky, I heard my granddad and I heard his voice say to me clearly this time. I heard him say, "Happy birthday, Lydia." We wanted to wait until you could see them. And that's all I heard. That's all I heard. And that might sound a little strange, but I've needed glasses ever since my concussion. I have very poor vision when I'm driving and trying to look into the distance. And I got glasses the 2 weeks before we went on our little road trip just because I wanted to be able to see what we are doing. And now I'm so reliant on them. I don't know how I live without them. It's like life is so much easier when you can see. So I don't know. I wondered if maybe when I did think that I saw them that first time, when I didn't have glasses, maybe it was them, but I just didn't know. But I really felt like this was like a 30th birthday present from my granddad because I turned 30 in December. And yeah. So that's what I'd experienced the first time. And I just sat there for a little while and just cried. Like, I cried a lot. And Dan just gave me space. He hugged me sometimes. He gave me a kiss once or twice, a few other times. And yeah, it was just an emotional time. When I came back and like opened up my little mind hat when I was there on my own, I actually didn't know if my granddad would come through or not. I think I hoped he would. But when if I get to where I actually was in the story, which is that I'd heard some spirit guides and heard and seen my little spirit baby and then heard this voice coming through saying, "Lydia, we're your light family." I paused. Because their voice was very strong. It was stronger than my spirit guides. It was stronger than the spirit baby. It was almost like I had someone sitting next to me speaking clearly into my ear. And it was so close that I couldn't really avoid it or ignore it. And I don't know who they were. I don't know what light family means. I don't know if that's just all my spirit guides, or if it's something else, or if it's that little council that I see that nods and shakes their head if I want to know if something's true or not. I don't know who they are, but I heard, "Lydia, we're your light family. It's time to come home." And I cried, because I didn't know what that meant. I thought that meant that it was time for my human body to pass away and for my soul to go up to them. And I kind of took stock of where my life was right now. And I thought about my boyfriend. I thought about my family. And ultimately, I thought about the fact that, you know, I'm not a mum yet. So if I were to go, it wouldn't ruin anyone's lives, you know? But I was just so scared. I was so scared. And I wasn't, and I'm not ready for that. I'm just not ready. It's the biggest thing that terrifies me in this lifetime. And they said to me, they said, you can open your eyes, you can look at us. And so I opened my eyes and I was just watching the Northern Lights and I was watching the sky. And do you remember in the last episode, I spoke about how I lucid dreamed for the first time, and when I was almost like in that state of being awake and being asleep, I sort of imagined or saw my soul sitting up out of my body. And then after that, I just went anywhere I wanted and went straight onto the mountain and started snowboarding. The same thing kind of happened here. I wasn't willing it to happen though, but I just saw or felt, or a combination of both, I don't really know. I saw like this piece of my soul rising up out of my body and going up into the sky. And I was so scared that I was trying to force it back down into my body. I was just saying, no, no, no. And I also got scared because I was like, how do I know that whoever's talking to me like has my best interests at heart? Like, I don't know. I just get scared about that kind of stuff. And I can't lie, they felt like home. So I don't know. I don't think they had mischievous intentions. But I just sat there and I was trying to force this energy back into my body. And I was just like pushing it down, pushing it down, pushing it down back into my body until I felt it was there. And then my phone started ringing and my mum was returning my call so I could show her the Northern Lights. And I picked up and showed them to her. She could hardly see them. And we spent most of the time trying to get her to get her screen brightness up. And I don't think we ever did. But I was able to sit and FaceTime my mom and sit with her for these Northern Lights. And around about 10 minutes into that, I hear some footsteps and Dan had come back and he just came back to watch them again with me. And so after I'd spoken with my mom, he just kind of sat down on the ground behind me and I sat kind of in between his legs and we both lay back and just watched them for a while again. I got quite cold and at whatever point, I think I'd been out there for an hour, I told him I was ready to go home. And so we stood up and as we were walking out of the park, I told him what happened. I said that I meditated and I think it was like part of my soul died or was like trying to go home. I'm like making air quotes with my fingers right now, like was just floating up to the sky and that I was trying to force it back down. And I kind of expected him just to stay silent because that's what he typically does when I tell him weird shit. But he just said, oh no, who am I going to wake up next to tomorrow morning? Like as if it was just going to be a completely different person. I said to him, I was like, I'm going to try to talk to granddad when we get home, like when I go to sleep. And sad thing is, as soon as my head hit the pillow, I was just zonked. I went to sleep straight away. And I made a conscious decision to not close up my mind hat. I wanted to remain open while I slept, just in case some crazy dreams came through or anything like that. And then I sent through photos of it to my family on our little family WhatsApp chat. And my sister, Soph, she sent through this explanation of what the Northern Lights are, or the Aurora Borealis, what they are. And apparently they can mean a cycle of death and rebirth, or they can instigate death and rebirth. And I was just sitting there and I was like, what have I done? I could have maybe let go of my past self and would just be sitting here as my full future self. I don't know. I don't know what could have happened, but I felt guilty and that I'd like shut down an opportunity to grow as a person. But I also didn't want to forget any of the parts of my life that brought me here. Like even the tough times, they're part of me for a reason. They make me who I am. So it's just this weird little seesaw of feeling guilty that I couldn't expand, I guess, and then wanting to stay true to who I am and wanting to stay me. And then we got told the next night that we'd probably be able to see them again. And so I thought, ah, this is my chance. So after work that night, I went back out onto the field on my own this time. And as soon as I started approaching, I could just hear all these voices. There was like an international group having a barbecue or something on the field, and they were really loud. So even if I'd gone onto the field, I wouldn't have been able to, one, see the Northern Lights because they were really, really faint. Two, I wouldn't have been able to meditate or do anything and hear whatever could come through. So I ended up just sitting sort of in this area between the house and the park, which had some benches. And one by one, these people had to kind of walk past me to get to their cars and drive home. And I felt like such a creeper just sitting there in the dark. I like purposefully put on my phone light so that they didn't just see this figure as they got closer to me and freak out. But once I was sure enough of them had gone for the time being, I activated my chakras again and I opened up my little mind hat. And this time I directed what energy I could send up into the sky. And I decided to send up my fear, because I'm a very scared person. I decided to send that up and release my fear up into the sky. Like, the light family can get that part of me, you know, like that can be sent up to them. So I did that, or I imagined that, or visualized that, whatever you want to say. And then they said to me that my daughter was here. And so again, here comes little spirit baby. And she starts grilling me a little bit. She wants to come through. It's her time. She's stubborn, which I'm not surprised at, because both Daniel and I are. And she's sort of just like, why isn't this happening yet? I want to be down there. I want to be with you and Daddy. And just like kind of laying into me. And I like already feel mum guilt. Like, and I'm not a mum. Like, oh, it's such a weird feeling. But ever since because I said to her, I was like, you know, it's happening soon. It's coming soon. Like, we're planning on trying soon, just not right now. And I went back home, and ever since I've just felt her around me, like around me all the time. It's just this constant reminder. I'm just like, okay, she's here. Like, she's ready to come down. Yeah. I don't know. If I want to, like, I could just see her playing in my mind's eye. Ugh. I thought this was going to be a quick little episode, but it wasn't, was it? It's long. But that was my experience with the Northern Lights. And part of the fear that I released was fear about my upcoming virtual group reading. As you know, I've been doing readings for about a year now, virtually and in person, but mostly through Zoom. And I've been wanting to do group readings for probably about 6 months now. And I've been told it's time. I'm nervous, but I've been told it's what I'm meant to do. Even saying that sounds so cringe, so I might edit that out. But I'm going to have my first group reading on the 25th of May. It is a Saturday, and I'm going to make 12 spots available. So for the first few, I'm just going to have them much smaller than they will be in future. But I'm going to put availability up on my website, www.psychicish.com, and that's psychic-ish.com, or the little psychic-ish, whatever you call that. And yeah, get them while you can. I'm so excited and so nervous. I'm feeling all the feels that I felt before starting readings in the first place. So even that to me shows me that this is what I should be doing, because I don't even think twice about doing readings now. But yeah, it's also overwhelming because I'm stepping into something that I've wanted for a really long time. So yeah, I'm just excited. Oh, I think the excitement is overpowering the nerves right now. And it should be, because I released that fear, right? I released that fear. And in that space, like when I was releasing that fear, they just said, you know, you can choose to be scared or you can choose to be brave. So now I'm just going to choose to be brave. Oh, thank you for listening. I'm going to put up a question box tomorrow for if you have any questions or theories or similar experiences from seeing the Northern Lights yourself. And that will be on my Instagram at Psychic-ish Podcast. Next episode, you'll be hearing all about Alcatraz. I promise. And it's going to be coming through sooner than you realize. So thank you for listening. Best of luck getting to sleep tonight. I don't know why, but I don't know if it's because I've been really homesick recently, but I just went to say love you, like as if I was on the phone to my mom or something. But don't worry, I won't say that. But I do. Or do I? I don't know. It's so weird. Bye.